This is Ben Crenshaw. You're listening to Radio Golf Show.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my oh my, are you in for a treat today? We're not very good at this regular programming thing, mainly because our guests have quite the dance cards. They're quite busy. But joining us on the program tonight is Mr. Rob Hogan. Rob is a multiple-time speed golf world champion, an author, Instagram. Yeah, well, you know, why not? I mean, you should see the people that call themselves authors. You're way ahead of them. An Instagram TikTok sensation. Ooh. A teacher, a golfer, a father, and he's Irish. A lot of people think you're Scottish, right? Around here, we refer to him as Rob Hogan, the man, the myth, the legend. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Frank, thanks for the fantastic entrance, and delighted to be here chatting to you.
It's really good to it feels really good to have you here.
Delighted to be here chatting to you. I have a funny feeling you're in Germany, aren't you?
I am.
I have a funny feeling there's a bit of a symmetry between me and Germany. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a sense of humor. Not everyone knows I have a sense of humor, but I'm always telling jokes. But people only find it funny when I'm saying something serious.
There's a symmetry. Most people think Germans don't have a sense of humor, but we'll find some symmetry between us. Listening to my own voice here, you guys out there, and you too, Rob, for that matter, might think I've been on a 72-hour Paddy's Day bender, but I assure you, those days are long gone. How did you spend Paddy's Day, Rob?
I played 9 holes in the morning. I did it live on the internet. I stream golf nearly every day. I play 9 holes. I have a great time. And then I just hung out with buddies and the family.
There you go.
And I had a Peroni.
Peroni. Italian beer. Very nice. Let's talk about you first. Let's talk about the man, Rob Hogan. You were quite the promising young golfer back in the days. Is that correct?
I was took it up when I was 8. Thought it was a game for old fellas, but I liked it. Played with my dad, pitch and putt. We've a lot of little short little courses around here in Ireland, little pitch and putt courses. I don't know, do you have them in Germany, little pitch and putt courses?
Yeah, not really.
But anyway, that kind of bumbled along, and then I was 12, and I think it might have been Santa Claus himself brought me a golf club membership and a little envelope, and he brought me a blue jumper for Kilcool Golf Club. You know what I mean? And I don't know what it was. It was just totally head over heels in love, and I would say total obsession.
Yeah.
For some reason or other. And I played a lot, practiced a lot, and I became reasonably decent, you know, and I competed in junior golf against the likes of Rory McIlroy and Seamus Power, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember asking Rory and Seamus Power. Well, I asked Rory's father this, and Seamus Power, later, lovely fellas, you know. And I asked them how many balls a night they were hitting after school at the driving range, because I couldn't get to the course. I lived an hour and a half away from the course,
right,
that I got to play at. But they were hitting 500 balls a night, Frank.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a little bit of a numbers game as part of it.
Yeah.
But it was cool to play with those guys. Super nice guys. Hey, nice guys finish last. Not true in my experience. Certainly in golf, the dudes at the top are real earnest. You know what I mean?
It happens.
Experience.
Yes, I saw.
However, sorry now, but I have the upper echelons. Having said that, of golf, I did play the more competitive it seems to be, and the more kind of lads are standing in your line when you're surprising them. But as something about me, I like that. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is.
There you go. I did see a video recently of you having a little chat with Rory at one of the PGA tournaments.
I got invited to the Irish Open, and I got to have a little bit of a chat with him. There I ambushed him.
Yeah.
It was
looked like he knew who you were.
It was fun. Well, I look exactly the same as I did when I was 17.
what he wouldn't give for your hair. I don't know where that came from. But let me tell you one thing. First of all, and I've been a fan. I like what you do. I love what you do for quite a while, for a number of years.
Thanks,
And
Frank.
two
Appreciate it.
quotes I read that immediately resonated with me because I saw myself in them. I don't know where they're from. I don't even know if they're true. The first one is, you supposedly said, I love thinking about golf. And the second is, I'm an incredibly lazy person.
I love that, man. Okay, you want me to address these issues? Is that
Please,
what you want me to do?
is it true? Did you say that?
What was the first one again?
I love thinking about golf.
Oh, yeah. So actually, I really, man, I'm over the moon. Yeah, you asked me that because you might have noticed when I was explaining my love and obsession for golf. I said I kind of said for some reason or another. Like, so what I mean there is, I was kind of aware when I was a kid. You know, everyone was playing a lot, but I was playing a lot. But as much as that, I enjoyed reading about it and thinking about it. So I guess that's found expression in what I'm doing. And if I'm a coach or whatever to however many people, you know what I'm trying to say. So what I've taken from that is, you know, don't fight your natural leanings. Like, don't, excuse my expression, but don't pee into the wind. You know what I mean? That was the way I was geared. So that's thankfully what's found kind of expression. Because I remember thinking at one point, thinking, man, you can't be thinking about it like this, because so and so is not thinking about it like that. Who's ever winning the Masters or the U.S. Open? But that's the way I'm geared, thankfully, and I love it. I love getting a bit of space, bit of time, and that's when the thoughts start coming through. That's when the ideas come in, and that's when I'm getting inspired about the concepts I have. I think that coupled with my journey in speed golf, when I started speed golf, there was no information. Nobody saying do it this way, do it that way. You know what I mean? So I was able to just totally, it was like a thought project. I approached my own way. Totally obsessed, and I think that gave me confidence because the way I did it happened to be a decent way to do it.
Yeah,
So
we'll
there's a
talk
lot
about
to
speed.
unpack there, but I think you've with those two quotes, I think you've picked up on something. Thank you.
Well, I mean, today, if I may say so, we decided to start half an hour later because we both had to put the kids to get to bed. So, yeah, we might be lazy, but if we have to, we do it. Just takes
We
a
get
little
things
longer.
done.
Very good. You are a family man, which when you see your videos, you're like, and we'll talk about this. But you are a two-time world champion, I believe. You won the world championship the te second time it was played in 2012. Is that right?
Yeah, well, a man, you know what I mean? Mike Kaiser, who he owns Bandon Dunes, he sponsored Speed Golf, which was one of the big moments in the history of sport anyway. And it was 2012 through to 16, and I won it in 13 in Oregon and 15 in Chicago.
That, I saw that Mike Kaiser, and Mike Kaiser, he must be a billionaire. I mean, he owns Bandon Dunes. But then I was shocked to see, I think that it was the last big event in Japan, where the winner got like 100,000 yen, which is like $600 for the first prize.
Yeah, so when Mike Kaiser sponsored it, the first prize was about seven. When I won in 2013, it was $17,500, which was certainly worth my while. And honestly, to me, that was I was like, I mean, you see these fellas winning millions, but 17, and I thank God I didn't win millions, and I did.
We probably wouldn't have gotten to know you.
I remember, hey man, I don't want to rabbit on about this and that, and I did this and I did that. But honestly, when my buddy Big Bad Bob came with me over there, then we flew into Portland and we drove 6 hours and we played Bandon and then we won. It was great, and we drove another million hours down to San Diego. We stopped in a little town called Ashland, Oregon, which is known for the trail runners, and we were mad. We're like, oh, we'll go for a pint and we'll see what's happened. There was no one around, but I just remember standing outside a little pub in Ashland, Oregon, having won the event, man. And I had this weird memory, all right? I remember looking at a tree and I remember thinking, I feel like I could pick up the whole tree and brush my teeth with it. Just that vibe of just the buzz, you know what I mean?
There's the sense of humor. But you guys have well, and I include you because you're a trailblazer in this relative new sport, which some might call a trend sport, you know, something like that. But you have serious plans of making this Olympic by 2040.
Well, man, you're going in a rabbit hole here. I don't know who, what are your listeners like, Frank? Are they maniacs?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
We got a niche on the maniacs. We cornered the market on the maniacs.
Okay, look, when I wrote the book, I realized I was at a particular place in the history of the sport. I knew all the old guys. I researched all the history. I knew all the new guys. I had to do it. I went down the rabbit hole myself. I thought a lot about it. I spent time with Jay Larson down in San Diego, who set up a lot of the first tournaments after John Bell. Him and Bob Babbitt, a huge name in multi-sports event organization and media, Bob Babbitt and Jay Larson. Now, let me tell you, what happened was they put an advertisement in the late 80s in a running magazine. They were oversubscribed with people trying to play the event. They got 80 people overnight. When they came and played the time plus score format, minutes plus shots, that's John Bell formulated that in San Diego in the late 80s. Now, that really favors the golfer. When their running centric contestant figured out they'd no chance, they didn't come back. Now, knowing this, and Jay Larson told me this, that aligned with the thought that was percolating in my mind, which was eventually, if this sport progresses with the time plus score method, what's going to happen is all the times are going to pool at being the same. So all you're going to have is a golf tournament in which everybody happens to be jogging ar along. And nothing wrong with that. I love the current format. But based on all of this happening, I've taken it upon myself to strike a new format that will start here at the Irish Open on June the 7th at Castlebar. And that is time only. Now, time playing quickly relies on decent golf and efficient golf. But to accentuate that, if you make a birdie or better, a minute comes off your time. If you make a double bogey or worse, a minute goes on to your time. If you make a par or a bogey, your time remains unchanged. I believe I'm going back to that junction in history in the late 80s where those runners didn't come back. I believe I'm going back there now, providing the equity between the runner and the golfer, and I think we're standing on we're just I think we're just standing on the cutting edge and the forefront of something
Right,
here.
certainly a bifurcation, but I mean, just for the folks who don't know the rules, one stroke is scored equally to 1 minute. So if you shoot 90 in 60 minutes, you're shooting 150, right?
Sorry, now what I'm saying is that's been the format since the late 80s.
Okay, and but it's still the format today.
I run the Irish Speed Golf Open. It's going to be on June the 7th at Castlebar, and I'm
That'll be the
changing the
first.
format based on my concepts and based on what I've learned from
Right,
studying the history.
right. Excuse me. Let's talk about this game. And how I'm okay. I've watched some of the things on YouTube. Some of the events. How many clubs do you carry?
It's up to you. In my events, you're entitled to carry as many clubs as you want. Frank, if you want to carry around for your 14 clubs, good luck to you. I used to use six clubs in the bag, and then myself and my dad designed the Hogan holster. I'm going to be releasing that to the market now in a couple of weeks. So it's a holster system. So I play with either three clubs or four clubs.
How
So if
many
I'm playing
balls?
with four clubs, there's three clubs in the holster and holding the club in one hand.
Right. How many balls do you take?
Well, that's the thing, man. I mean, in some of the tournaments, if there's a cart with you can put balls in the cart. But if you have to carry your own balls, well, then that's up to you if you want to take one and risk it. But usually I play a very conservative. I take five or six. But let me tell you, in 2013, I didn't miss a fairway for the entire year. Now that might not sound crazy if your name was Calvin Peat, but my name is Rob Hogan, right? Struggling golf tour professional. I missed every fairway in 2011. I had the yips, Marooch. But when I was running, I found a flow.
You had the yips with the driver.
I had the yip at the driver.
That's a beautiful thing. How did you get rid of that?
Speed golfing. The first day I tried speed golfing. Hold on one second,
Yeah,
let me
sure.
turn up. I'll put this on charge. I will. One moment, Frank,
Yeah,
please.
absolutely.
I will, yeah, it'll be about 20 minutes.
We are back. I totally forgot.
Man, it might have been good we were interrupted from that
Yeah,
mania,
well,
man.
but you know, there are things that are much more important than golf in a podcast. So, absolutely no problem there. We were talking about how many balls you take, that kind of stuff. But and you changing the format at the Irish Open. Let's talk about away from speed golf for a minute. About you as an, did you consider yourself an influencer?
I love that word, influencer. Yes.
Yes.
I'm gonna get a tattoo to my forehead, Marucci.
Well, but I beg to differ. I think influencers are interested in taking people on their journey. You're making videos and countless videos for the people, not for yourself. You're not showing them, hey, here I am. Merry Christmas to me. You are, and I hate the words when I read, oh, Rob Hogan gives gives golf tips. I think it's much, much deeper than that. And I read in an interview that you once said that speed golf is closer to the way golf used to be than golf is today. Can you?
Certainly just playing with the eyeball. You know, I remember oh man, I had a buddy. I used to work in a golf shop in Dublin City Centre, actually, like back in 2011, 2000, something like that. And I had a buddy, Paddy, and he used to play with our Ryder Cup hero, Philip Walton.
Philip
And
Walton,
whenever they play, Philip would say, "There's no range finders. There's no yardage markers." This is what Paddy told me now, okay? There's no watch, there's no this or that. No, nothing wrong with that technology. That's all good, lads, whatever you want to do. But Philip was using the eyeball. The eyeball. I was just wondering about this today, you know what I mean? Because I'm playing a rake of golf now myself, Frank. And just there is the art of the eyeball. And if you do allow yourself to estimate the distances, it's unbelievably accurate. So
Yeah.
that's I suppose it's a little bit like that. I there's so many variables, and honestly, how often, if you trust the eyeball, how often you come up pin high, it's mind blowing. It's mind
I
blowing.
was amazed watching you play. You putt one-handed. You don't read. You don't look. You don't. You feel the line, right? You don't squat down and read the putt.
I mean, there's so many things, but if you're talking about the line. I mean, I used to put one handed with the bag, and now I put two handed because I have the holster, so I have the two hands free.
Okay.
But when it comes to the line, it's my feeling that you know the line. You know the line when you're walking off. You've become very skilled at reading the green, okay, because you've seen it so many times. You love the data in your head that is instantly accessible. And then it's just simply a case of, can you start the ball on the start line? So as it comes to putting, I just think a start line drill is very important. And
Yeah.
now another, I just want to mention with all these things. Now, in one way, I'm kind of abolishing a certain mystery to all these little things and ways of doing things. But I do believe in that I'm opening up the mystery of the mind, a wonder of the mind. So I am sacrificing the little mystery of how you might read the putt, and I'm all for people doing whatever. But just when I rip and drive down the middle, or if I hole a putt, every single time I'm surprised because I can feel the club head moving this way and that way, my hands moving this way and that way, legs, limbs, fucking air particles, wind, grass. Play to grass, the club. Who made the club? The variables. When it goes down the middle, I'm surprised. You know what I mean? And I think you should be too. And you might explain it away with something that you did. But it's also nice to say, how the hell did I do that, man? I'll never know.
Yeah, I mean, most of us stand over the golf ball and have no idea where it's going. I mean, it's a very
I
prevalent.
think all of us, Frank, I would beg to say all of us.
All of us. There you
I
go.
think so.
That makes me feel really good.
I think
Thanks
so.
for that.
I'm
Thanks for that.
flabbergasted every time I hit the fairway, man.
Yeah, but then you read, these magazines, whether it's Golf Digest or I don't know if it is Golf Digest, but they talk about your tips, and they're not tips, and that's what I want to come to, because more importantly, top coaches that I've talked to about your videos, they clearly say that this guy knows what he's talking about. We let's talk about this. You use the tire a lot, and I remember Vijay Singh using the tire drill.
Okay, I didn't know Vijay used the tire, but I can well imagine he did, yeah.
But we all thought he was doing it to strengthen his golf muscles, which it was apparently it was not. Well, at least you're not doing it to strengthen your golf muscles. You're doing it to make a good swing.
Well, I'd love to know Vijay's true thoughts on the tire. I didn't know Vijay used the tire. I'm not surprised that he did. I know Vijay spent a lot of time in Malaysia, as did I. I talked to a guy who got coached by Vijay as a kid. He said Vijay had massive hands and all he could smell was sandalwood. But let me tell you, I'm also aware of the tire is synonymous with Henry Cotton. Now, I'd also love to know what exactly Henry Cotton was doing with the tire. I don't know if it's necessarily what I'm doing with the tire. I have got a lead on a guy who did work for Henry Cotton, so I'm in the process of trying to figure that out. And coincidentally, Henry Cotton did a stage show. And I'm not sure if you're aware, Frank, but I'm doing a stage show myself. So
I
there
am.
seems to be a bit of a symmetry between me and Henry Cotton. Now, let me tell you this. My angle with the tire is I say the ball is the target. Now, the ball is teeny tiny. You're right to be afraid, right? But when you're hitting the tire, it's a big target. There's really no anxiety. We're all going to be able to hit the tire. I think you can agree. We're all going to hit the tire. So the target anxiety is null and void. So when you smack the hell out of the tire, Marooch, all of a sudden you're tapping in to this swing that is specific to you. Now, what is the swing that is specific to you? It's probably measurable, and there are geniuses doing that. Limb length, range of motion, abilities, this, that, and the other, okay? And I'm all for those guys. But what I'm saying is you can find that real time, real you right now if you smack the tire. That's your swing. You look at my swing when I'm smacking the tire. You look at my swing when I was 15 or 16, they're the same thing. So that's how you tap into what is your swing. And now there's another step. The next step is, can you take that swing on a consistent basis to the ball? Results be damned. Go for it, observe. Go for it, observe. Go for it, observe. Because if you can keep taking the same swing, that's it. But if you do make the same swing and miss the ball, is a technique. A lot of the time, it's not. It's just simply the acquirement of the skill acquisition, however you want to put
Yeah,
it.
I mean, I've been playing golf for 40 plus years, and nobody's ever told me the ball is the target. I've never heard that. I thought it was brilliant.
You know, when you're throwing the dart at the dartboard, you're looking at the dartboard. The golf club head is the dart that you're effectively throwing at the ball. The ball is the dartboard. The ball is the target. If somebody is having success, okay, this is my theory. If someone has having success with somehow visualizing the target, what's actually happening there is they have trained so profoundly and so much as a kid that they already have a framework in their brain and their body, then they're just accessing that. For me and you, all right? For me and you, what's happening is the ball and our focus is switching between the ball and the landscape through the swing, and that's where the tension creeps in on the tight tee shots. Ideally, what we need to have happen is we look at the landscape, we analyze what we need to do to the ball, and that creates a model in our brain, how we need to hit the ball, and then the ball's the target.
I've had a discussion with somebody we had on the show who was a biathlon world champion. And biathlon is skiing and shooting. I always thought golf was a two-sport game with the game to the green and the game on the green or around the green. But it really isn't. I mean, if I look at speed golf and biathlon, I mean, you are running. I mean, you're running. I don't know how many miles you're running in 18 holes. It's got to be 5 or 6. Right, 5
It
miles,
is, yeah.
something like that.
It is.
Is there a technique that you use when you run and you get to the ball, how you slow down your heart rate, for example?
Man, I can't help it, but a lot of people when they talk about speed golf, they compare it to biathlon or Olympic biathlon, as I've heard it referred to. And I've heard a lot of people saying that Olympic biathletes have a knack of somehow slowing their heart rate down just before they hit, and that would give you the impression that you might want to take it easy around the ball, bring the heart rate down. And that may be the case for lots of people. I have to tell you, for me, it hasn't been the case. For some reason, let me tell you, 2012, I played over there in Bandon Dunes in front of CBS Sports. It was shown just before the
Yes,
Masters. It was
exactly.
when I first put in the one-handed putting into action, because I became convinced that was the way to go because of the logistic benefits, not having to put your bag down inside of the green. But because my heart rate, man, was probably at 200 beats per minute average for the round, I couldn't putt. I hit the ball like you can't believe, but I could not putt. So thank God I didn't slow down and say, I'm going to need to slow down. Simply my experience, my body just became able to putt at 200 beats per minute. And I did see a little bit of a picture of Rory's heart rate over the weekend playing in Sawgrass, and it was getting up to 130 or something like that, which is pretty high for someone who's not running. It's amazing what the excitement can do to you. But I really see a point in time in terms of regular golf that speed golf could be a training method for that, because 130 beats per minute is not a problem. 200 beats per minute is not a problem when you just get used to it. I guess the body just gets used to lots of things, and this, in my experience, is one of those things.
You mentioned Henry Cotton with the tires, and I also read that one of your inspirations to speed golf was that you saw Jack Nicklaus and Lee Trevino play a type of speed golf.
Yeah, well, that was something I found later on with great interest. I found that Trevino had come over to one of the British open venues way before. I don't know, was a 73 is popping into my head, but I don't know the year. But he came over way before, and he played something like 36 holes a day running with his caddy in the buggy. And that's another part of speed golf. You simply get more golf in. You get more bang for your buck. So one part of the benefit of speed golf to your golf game is you simply get more of it in. So I find that embodied in Trevino's preparation for that particular British Open. And I just found it fascinating that Nicklaus was doing it as well.
How friendly are golf courses to people speed golfing on their track?
I mean, I tend to go out and play early morning and evenings, or when it's quiet or rainy. I like being out there, man, doing my own thing. I have to tell you though, there's a course in New Zealand where it's really taken off down there in Taranaki, and the speed golfers, I realized this way back. I wrote a blog post about this way back in 2013 or 14, okay? The speed golfers, at first glance you'd say, no, man, you got to go early or late. But actually, the speed golfers can coexist with the golfers, because when you're letting someone play through that's playing speed golf, they don't really hold you up in the process of them playing through. And
Got it.
actually, what happens? Actually, what I remember, I wrote. I remember I wrote this blog post after I went to the Galway Arts Festival, and there was a crazy sculptor had done some crazy stuff, and I remember how fun it was to look at that. So I said, all that's happening is you're having something fun to look at while you're waiting for them to go through, which takes about 40 seconds.
Gotta blow your mind when you let a speed golfer play through, running and striping it down the middle. You credit speed golf with the weight loss from 15 to 11 stone. For people who don't know what stones are, it's about from 210 pounds to 155 pounds.
I was a man. I was well, it was 2012, and I'd been playing speed golf 2008, 2009. Man, it just jumped off the magazine page. I knew I wanted to do it. I was hounding Speed Golf International. When is the event? When is the event? I gotta come over. But there was no prize money. I couldn't justify going over. Man, there was about a year where I didn't touch the speed golf I didn't speed golf. I was lying on the couch, man. I was growing a belly. I'd recently gained a part-time job that I needed to be in good shape for. Let me tell you, man, I got down to Galway Bay, and straight away there was the switch. I started hitting it really good. Hitting it really good, okay? Now let me tell you, that very day, I went to the internet, the computer in my local library. That very day. It could have been that very minute. It was updated on the Speedgolf International website. They announced the 2012 World Championship. I don't know what I sensed something in the ether or something like that. That's what got me on the road, and I put in a lovely bit of training, and I have to say it was great workout.
Yeah. Were you a runner before?
No,
No, not
I man, I don't know. I always
at
had an idea I could run. In 2009, I decided to try and on a six on a regulation golf course where you're running probably 4.5, 5 miles. I decided to do something crazy, and I tried to break the record of round of golf on a course over 6,000 yards, playing by the rules of golf. You can have a caddy, but you got to run the whole way. I decided to take it on with no training. It was something like 27 and a half minutes. I did it in 30 minutes. I was so nervous. Have you ever heard of Tato?
Edo, no,
Tato?
no.
Well, Tato are our kind of national brand of crisp
Oh, no.
potato chip, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like a Doritos or whatever, a
I'm
Walkers.
definitely interested.
But I ate 80, I ate an eight, I ate 18 packs of them the night before. I was so nervous. Because I used to eat when I was nervous. But I ate 18 packs of it. And man, I went down the first fairway, and there was 30 kids there at least watching me, and I was leaving them in my wake. But coming up the 18th, they were easily running alongside them. But I don't do it anymore, but I used to have an ability to really push it.
Yeah.
But I somehow I had in my head that I foolishly could run.
How many events are there per year on the speed? Is there a speed golf tour?
There's probably 20 events, 25 events per year. I'm heading down for the sixth time down under to New Zealand now, the end of April,
Yeah.
to compete down there.
Can you make a living playing speed golf?
you can try.
It's all you can do in life. Well, okay, let me ask you this. How do you prepare for one of those events?
I mean, you got to run a ton and speed golf a ton and practice the whole works. But hey, at the end of the day, no matter what you're doing, well, no matter what you're playing golf, you're playing speed golf, you're podcasting, it's always you're saying, I'm gonna prepare, I'm gonna do this. Sometimes you prepare, sometimes you don't. But when you press record, when you stand on the first tee, you're always winging it.
Yeah, that's right. And especially the older you get, you understand you have no clue. You're always winging it. Let's talk about your videos, which are awesome. And you briefly touched on it when you know that you have an idea and you want to get it on film. But these short videos, they look like, I mean, the location, your wardrobe, I mean, everything looks like it's fucking perfect. I mean,
First of all, I'm delighted to chat to you about this. I just want to say thank you to your listeners if they're still listening, because
Yeah,
I
my
realize that I'm absolutely head over heels mad about all this stuff I'm talking about. So, as if you're listening, I don't know, do they listen in their car? Do they listen in their workplace or where they listen? But if you're listening, thank you. I know Frank's a legend. Thank you. I love the way you're picking out all the little bits and bobs, Marucci, and thank you.
Well, they might not be listening anymore, but I mean, with all our episodes, we've tried to. We've tried to cut down. We used to have episodes that went 3 hours, but now we're down to like an hour. So no, but it's very interesting to me because when you get an idea for a video, how long does it take you from the idea to put it up on Instagram?
I tried to do it immediately, that's the thing. I kind of think there's a certain energy to it, so it's fairly immediate. I see other people making videos, and I know I see they plan it and they do this and they schedule it, and that's great. I mean,
Yeah.
that's absolutely great. I'm probably not capable of doing that. However, for me, it's just on a minute by minute, day to day basis. There is no schedule.
Yeah,
It's so
and
100% inspiration. So that's kind of, I guess that's the cool thing about the, you know, the short videos on Instagram is
yeah.
it's fun and you just get it done.
And you do have 400,000 followers, and you do no advertising except for yourself on the, I mean, it's not a fucking infomercial, but it's, you're just promoting speed golf. And I got to tell you, when I first, the very first video I saw of you, and I saw the name Speed Golf Rob, I thought you were peddling those speed sticks. That's what I thought. Then I understand you weren't, then I understood you weren't doing that. Do you make money with the Instagram stuff?
Do I make money with the Instagram stuff? People buy my hats and my t-shirts and my book.
I did, and I suggest you
And
do
thank
the
you so
same, ladies
much.
and gentlemen.
Please
Absolutely.
do. And talking about peddling, I in Arizona I met a cool dude who's making a Marucci pitch mark repairer. So that's on my shop. So please
That's
have a
there.
look at that.
Absolutely.
But actually, people do buy the stuff. That's really cool. And it also keeps me kind of independent. You know what I mean? Honestly, the amount of people in the industry and brands that have reached out to me has been great. And I have done some work with brands like Cobra came out and visited me and they shot a video which is coming out next week. And it's really cool and I appreciate that. A lot of their brands that have reached out to me, they get me on the phone and you know what I mean? Like I talk like this. I could talk for an hour and I think it's too much for them, man. But I think there's a benefit to that as well. There's a benefit to being independent. There's also a benefit to getting in with the brands, getting in with the PGA Tour. So we'll see what happens. But I'm also aware of the benefit of being independent, which is, I think is really, if I can keep that going, it's probably the best thing. But let's see. Who knows?
That's the reason why we don't have sponsors or do commercials 4 years into it.
And the reason I don't have sponsors or commercials is because I'm a lunatic.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you know, you have this, I mean, you have a brilliant idea and you just don't know how to fucking monetize it. But happened many times. The end of your videos. I love the end of the videos when, not in all of them, but in some of them, you walk away, you make a shot, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You walk away and then you turn around and then you have this, this filter from, like, I don't know what it is, but it looks like, you know, it's like this mystical filter. And it reminds me every time of Golf in the Kingdom, the book by Michael Murphy, and Shivers Irons looking for his mentor, Seamus McDuff. And I got it, and I say that has to be Seamus McDuff. You are that kind of myth, and we got to talk about Marucci.
Yeah, that's not a filter. That's just me zooming in the editing, you know what I mean? I don't know where that came from, to be honest. I seem to listen to myself. I seem to have an answer for everything. I don't have an answer for that. But I have read that book. I have read that book, you know what I mean? And I do remember the scene where Seamus McDuff is on the He's down there, down on the beach
Yeah, the
hitting, you know what I
13th
mean? And
hole.
he hits with the club, the wooden club or something. Yeah, man.
It's awesome. I mean, okay, Marucci, and I don't want you to tell me what it is, what it means. I'll tell you what I think it means. Starting off, have you ever called your wife or your kids intentionally or unintentionally Marucci?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you
I
go.
don't I don't my wife I don't call my wife Marucci. Maybe I do actually, but I don't know.
I know a lot of Vinnie Marucci's from my time in New York that lived out in Staten Island. The guys that always got the earliest tee time and everything. You didn't want to mess with them. But to me, the Marucci concept, and I thought about this, encompasses the thinker and the object. You're Marucci, I'm Marucci, everything's Marucci. But that makes sense. Don't burst my bubble.
No, I think I don't want to get I don't want to get wanky, but I put it this way, right? My daughter, hopefully she'll come do a bit of traveling with me, you know what I mean? She's an unbelievable musician, 16 years old, and we brought her, she's in a band, a really great band, and they're on Spotify, they're called Moonlight Eclipse, they're unbelievable.
Moonlight Eclipse. What does your daughter's play? What instrument?
She plays guitar and she sings.
Beautiful.
Yeah, she's also playing the drums. She's actually gonna, the drummer and her are going to swap places soon in a gig. So she's kind of an all rounder. But we got. I brought her to the passport office, and the police. The policeman, I brought her in, and he was real sketchy. You know what I mean? He's like, "Who's this guy coming in?" Now, he wasn't. He was a great fella, but he was, you know, he was checking me out, and who are you? And you know, your father, and you're this, and you know what I'm saying? Rightly so. Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
Rightly so. The guy's doing his job. I really appreciate that. But then he said, "Are you the guy that makes the golf videos?" And he said, "What is Marooch?" And that was, and that he was. I really respect the law enforcement, you know what I mean? I always try and answer the questions earnestly, you know what I mean? I always try and leave the answer to that question like to you, Frank, you know what I mean? But there's a guard in Castlebar who got my really attempt at an earnest answer because I felt like I had to.
There you go. Well, with me, you don't have to, but to me, it's everything and nothing at the same time. That's the way I look at it. And
But I guess everything is everything and nothing, isn't it?
yeah, but many people don't realize that. You claim, obviously, from what you've said today, you claim not to be an innovator, but more a communicator of tradition. When you say that golf, that speed golf is more than the original golf, than the golf is today. You see.
It's funny because, like the R&A over there in St Andrews, you know what I mean? And I love those guys, and I've worked with those guys. I made a couple of videos with them during the summer, and I think hopefully I'll be doing a little bit of them again this year. So, you know, love those guys, everything like that. You know, they're pushing, what's it, Ready Golf? You know what I mean? And that's funny thing is, man. I love the honor system. I love the structure of, you know, if Hagen lays up short, he goes first, right? If I'm further away, I go first. I love that structure. I love the structure. If I had a lower score than you, I go first in the next tee. If you had a lower score than me, you go first in the next tee. Because I really just think that infrastructure just provides like a safe, civilized place for you to truly play within. So, in a weird kind of way, I feel like I'm the establishment now.
Which is cool
So,
because you bring people to golf that would have never, started playing.
yeah.
It's a huge thing because with many people, they like it the other way around. They talk about how golf should be a sport for the masses, but secretly they're happy that it's this exclusive little club where not everybody is welcome, and you do exactly the opposite.
Well, I'm having deja vu here, but I mean, I don't know that. That's you saying that, Frank. You know what I mean? But I just like the rules and the structure, which is odd.
Yeah,
It's the
well,
other
that's
way around
tradition.
that you'd think.
That's tradition.
I mean, it's one part of tradition. There's other part of traditions. Like I'm all for wearing what you want. So there's a couple of sides to the coins. You know what I mean?
Good point. Is there etiquette in speed golf? That what we just talked about? Well, I mean, you play alone. Do you?
Yeah, it's a little bit different because it's a little bit different because you're playing alone. There is etiquette if you're playing through people, but by and large, you're playing alone. But you know, etiquette within the game, I guess, is mostly how you interact with your playing partners. You know what I mean? And I love the established structures of that.
You have
And I
to
just
rake the
think that's the
bunkers.
very making of civilization, is it not? So for. Just for me, I'm just saying, you know, Ready Golf. I just don't know, man. I like the honor system. Just to pick one
Yeah,
thing.
I totally agree with you on that. I mean, we used to play in the States. We used to play army golf when it got dark. We used to play where I was ready, but that's a different story. But I totally agree with you. Honors and things like this is very important. So what else do we got? I love the things of hitting the tire, of skipping the stone on the water, throwing the stone, the tilting. My favorite video, maintain the golfing posture. Is that, do you consider yourself a teacher? A golf teacher?
I just, man, I just was lucky about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I just got a lot of time to let the kind of the tea leaves settle and really get some good thinking done, you know what I mean? And just got time to for the concepts to really come to me. And it's just been great to share that. I think one on one, it's just so intense, you know what I mean? You probably got a glimpse into that. It's just so intense, man. You know what I mean? You know, if a student's gonna drop out from society and hit 4,000 balls a day, it's gonna work. But I think for me, the bigger the audience, the better. Even if it's people coming to see me, if it's 100 people, it works better than one because there's a lot of intensity for one person. So if it's coaching one on one, I don't know. Am I coaching people? I don't know. I think a lot about golf. I get concepts. I'm happy to share them with people. I think they can help people. I think they are generous because I'm expressing something genuine. I'm helping people, and I think it's gratifying for me as well because I'm enjoying that process. So I think it's a pretty good deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the passion is everywhere. Talk to us about your events. I know you had one, I think, in Arizona, a show.
I did a live show in San Diego. We
Oh, San
kicked it
Diego.
off. The fellas down there, they're starting up a grip company, Poison Darts. They brought us down. Me and my childhood friend, Big Bad Bob, went down there. I did a live stage show on Ocean Beach with the Fooks, who are an Irish rock band in San Diego. And then we did the same thing in Arizona, the Week of the Waste Management.
Yeah.
In the Bel Air Park Golf Club. Shout out to Mariah there who brought us down, and we did a show there. You know, there was talk of us going to the Masters, but that might be next year. I'm going to save the resources, heading down to New Zealand, going to do a show down there in late April. I'm going to do a show in definitely in upstate New York in mid-July, and possibly in New York City as well, but we'll see how that goes. And then a couple planned in Europe. And look, hey. I was talking to a guy in Germany as well about doing something, but I'd love to do that as well. So if whether it's you, Frank, or if it's somebody listening, anyone who can help me out with these shows, jump on because it's the first year of doing it. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
it's kind of just learning as we go. And I think, for example, we're already booked to do Arizona next year, and we can promote that. You know, we're all can in, but hey, man, we're just going with it this year.
If you build it, they will come. The limited edition t-shirt to the Arizona show, I believe, is on your website,
Yeah, thanks, Frank.
speedgolfrob.com. Beautiful
Yeah,
t-shirt.
speedgolfrob.com. Yeah, we're not on TikTok now, so we can freely promote it.
Well, there you go.
Oh, look at this, man.
Yeah, there you go. This is the one. I have it in orange.
What
I love the orange t-shirt. It's
do you make of a fella who's got his face on his shirt, huh?
very and we do. I want to add one quick thing before we go. At the last World Championship, I believe, or the last big tournament, we had the first German woman or the first German speed golfer participate. A woman, I don't know her name now. But the fact that we are very good at this cross golf. That they play urban golf, whatever they call it, where we've been the world champions and we've had those guys on. I think there could definitely be some synergies there between speed golf and cross golf.
Absolutely. Well, her name is Britta Uschkamp.
There you go.
You know, she's actually come over here and played the Irish Open at least twice. She's going to be coming over on June the 7th to compete here. She's a really cool woman. She's traveled all over playing speed golf, and I think she really wants to get an event going in Germany. So I'd say if there's anyone out there who wants to get involved with Britta to do that, I think that would be a really good partnership.
We will spread the word. If you had gotten to me 20 years earlier, I would have ran with you, but now it's too late. My knees won't do it anymore. I'll ride
Never too
next
late,
week.
Marouche. Never too late.
Never too late, Maruj. Rob, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Frank.
You are a myth in the most mystical game there is, which is a beautiful thing. Let me ask you to close the show. What makes you happy?
Oh man, Janie Mack, I just love hanging out with my family. I really do. You know, I've got an unbelievable family. I can't even get you. I do love what I'm doing. Just I love the golf, finding the ability to express it, and just the love from the golf community, the people that keep watching it. I find it unbelievable. And just chatting to you has made me happy as well, Frank and Leman. I'm really flattered that you've been following my videos, and just a couple of little things that you picked out of it really hit me, man. So
Thank you.
I might start crying anytime soon. Yeah, man.
We'll be watching you, Maruch. Ladies and gentlemen, that was it. To the Link Clan. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Frank.